Now, we're continuing on with this series. It's His Story, Our Glory. Today's lesson from Isaiah 53 is going to be called The Sin Bearer, Christ the Sin Bearer. Isaiah 53, you might recall, I hope you do, is a prophecy of the coming Messiah that was written 750 years before Christ was born. You want to open your Bibles there to page 1455 in the Pew Bibles. Or if you want to use your own Bible, that is encouraged. We're going to be reading this text, beginning verse 1. And Isaiah writes, "Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. Like one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And who can speak of his descendants? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was stricken. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life a guilt offering, he will see his offspring and prolong his days. And the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. After the suffering of his soul, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great. He will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors. For he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors." Isaiah foretold what Jesus was going to do for us. Did you hear how many references there were to things like transgressions, iniquities, and sin? How much he suffered for those things. And it's made very clear that he wasn't guilty of those things, but he suffered for those things. That he took those things upon himself and paid the penalty for those things. Well, what are those things? We might think it's kind of an odd question to ask, especially we who are believers. We who are maybe having some familiarity with the Scripture and some ideas about the concepts that are foretold there and taught so well there. But I find more and more as I look at the world around us that there are a lot of people who just don't seem to understand what sin is. They just don't seem to feel like there's any such thing. There's no conviction about it when they do it. They avoid the word. Oh, we'll talk about my indiscretions. We'll talk about, you know, my failings, my shortcomings. But sin, iniquities, transgressions, oh, no. Now you're getting theological on me. Now you're talking about something I'm not sure I even believe exists. Transgressions. That speaks about the breaking of specific laws. Many of you could name the Ten Commandments. There'd be those that you'd say, oh yeah, I know I've broke that one or this one. I've broke that command. There are rules that God has put forth that I'm guilty of breaking. But we might say, well, but I haven't really broke, you know, those really big ones. But the reality is that every one of us is guilty of transgressions. We've all offended God in breaking the commands of God. The word for sin is broader. It literally means to miss the mark. So it would include those failures, those shortcomings, as we want to call them. It would include those things, even when we've done our best and not measured up to that perfection. We've fallen short of it. So sin is a broader term. So even though we maybe have tried, we think we've been real good at trying, we do our best, all of us are guilty of sin. Because we do fall short. We do miss the mark. Iniquities, that really hones in on the premeditated, presumptuous, even evil and wicked things other people do. None of us have been guilty, have we, of ever purposefully doing something that we knew would hurt someone else or would hurt ourselves, hurt God? None of us has consciously done that, have we? Reality is, truth is we all have. And we're all guilty of those iniquities, those presumptuous, premeditated sins. Sometimes the idea of iniquities is translated as lawlessness in the Scripture. It's that idea of being unbridled in the things that we do. Doing things without thinking about consequences or concerned about who it might hurt or whether it'll hurt at all. Doing things without thinking about anything other than our own selfish desires. No consideration of right or wrong, we just do it. Why? It's the impulse at the time. It's what we feel like doing, it's what our flesh is telling us to do, and we do it and we act upon it. And that's lawlessness. When we don't even think about, see, whether God cares about this, whether this is something He wants or desires, is this something, again, that is productive, beneficial to anyone, and we just do it because it feels like the right thing for us to do at the time, even though it might be the very opposite, the wrong thing. I think it's interesting that David was confronted by Nathan after he committed adultery, conspired to cover up that adultery, and that led to a complicity in the act of murder of an innocent man. This is David now. And when he was confronted by Nathan about this, when Nathan the prophet came to him and confronted him about what he had done, he responds this way in Psalm 32. Verse 3 through 5. He says, "When I kept silent about my sin, my bones wasted away and I groaned all day long. For day and night your hand, speaking to God, was heavy upon me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of the summer." I want you to hear that. David had tried to ignore and deny what he knew was reality. That he had sinned, that he had transgressed, that he had committed iniquities in God's eyes. And his sin almost did him in. That is, before he came clean. And I don't mean before he was cleansed. I mean before he came clean, before he admitted, before he confessed his situation. Matter of fact, in that same text, this is what he says. "Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord." Now, I want you to notice in that single verse, sin, iniquity, transgressions. Is he just repeating himself? No. He's understanding and admitting openly that he is guilty of all three types of the violations, that he has done it all. Now, this is from the lips of the man who's referred to in Scripture as the man after God's own heart. He admitted he was guilty of it all. He defended God deeply. He didn't try to belittle it or justify it. He didn't try to somehow explain away his actions. He didn't try to blame somebody else. He accepted that, yes, he was guilty. He'd done horrible things. And he knew. He knew that his sin had come between him in God. Isaiah 59, 1 and 2 really tells us a lot about the destructive nature of sinful rebellion. When we sin, it's much like a fuse is lit. And if we don't acknowledge that sin, confess that sin, turn to God about that sin, it will burn until it destroys. There will be something explosive, and what is exploded is the bridge, if you will, the relationship that we have with God. And Isaiah says that there's a separation that comes from this destructive, sinful rebellion. Sin will always take you farther than you want to go. And it'll always cost you more than you want to pay. And when we ignore it, it will be costly. And the thing that it costs most of all, the thing that is so dear or should be so dear to us, is our relationship with God. What it says in Isaiah is this: surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor is ear too dull to hear, but your iniquities have separated you from your God. We might want to deny it, we might want to ignore it, but sin always results in the following: sorrow, death, and eventually condemnation. Always does. Always will. Sin will always have those results. There's no way around it. There's no way to excuse it or deny it that will make it go away. These are the results of sinful rebellion. I have good news, though. Isaiah had good news. In Isaiah 59, it tells us again how that sin separates us from our God, that rebellion separates us. But if you read on to verse 20 of that text, it says, the Redeemer will come to Zion, to those in Jacob who repent of their sin. And it's the Lord who declares that. It's the Lord who says that. Isaiah 59, God says, yes, sin separates us, but I'm going to send a Redeemer. I'm going to send someone who could and would reach out and rescue any who would realize the seriousness of their sin. Any who would turn to Him and repent. Anyone. In verse 2 of Isaiah, we heard the phrase, the arm of the Lord. Now, hopefully you also heard that phrase in Isaiah 53, in the very first verse, when it said, to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? It's interesting, if you go back in Isaiah 52 and verse 10, it also talks about the arm of the Lord. This phrase is repeated throughout Isaiah, the arm of the Lord. What in the world are we talking about? The arm of the Lord. The arm of the Lord that's not too short. The arm of the Lord that would be revealed. The arm of the Lord that Isaiah 52:10 says, God would bear. God would bear His arm. God would reveal His arm to His people. What's being talked about? It's that God would reach out and rescue His people. He would declare that no matter how far you've gone away from Me, no matter how many sins, no matter how many transgressions, no matter how much iniquity, I will reach out to you, My children, because I love you and I care about you and I will work salvation in you and for you. That's good news. That's wonderful news. No matter how far His people had wandered, He was willing to do what He'd done so many times before, to reach out with that arm, to take hold of them, and bring them home. Good news. And Isaiah 52, 53, 59, all through, these predictions are about Jesus. Jesus is the arm of the Lord. Jesus is the one who God would reach out with. He's the Redeemer. He's the one God promised. He's the one who would be sent to bear the sins of all who accept His sacrifice. He's the one. He's our guilt offering. We may feel that we're pretty good people. I think that's our problem sometimes. We feel like we're pretty good people who do a lot of good things. And people say nice things about us. So we can feel like, well, particularly compared to some very evil and wicked people, I'm not that bad. And certainly, I don't need a sin bearer. Really? I don't need someone to pay the penalty for me. I don't need to have my sins forgiven. I don't need that. We may feel we don't deserve punishment. But hear me. An attitude like that blocks God's grace. Isaiah 59 again. It wasn't that his arm was too short. It wasn't again that his ear couldn't hear. But it's that the people would not call out to him. They would not take hold of his arm extended. They would not take hold. We're all guilty of transgressions. We're all guilty of iniquity. We're all guilty of sins. And until we begin to comprehend, like David did in our illustration, the seriousness of our condition, we're not going to be able to fully appreciate what Christ has done for us, let alone appropriate it. Jesus' sacrifice on the cross makes restitution for me. And you too. But neither I nor you will benefit from what he did if we don't acknowledge our need for him. He reaches out to us, but we have to take hold of that hand that's extended. We have to do that. And so many do not take hold of the hand extended because they don't feel they need to. They believe that they're okay where they are, no matter what they've done. They would rather try to, if you will, appease God by their own works. Like, God, I won't do it again. I'll be better next time. And what happens is we still sin. We still transgress. And we still are guilty of presumptuous, purposeful, premeditated sin. And God says, it's not that my arm's too short. It's not that I don't have the ability to save. It's not that I'm not ready and willing to. But you've got to acknowledge the need. Got to acknowledge the need. Got to. Some lyrics that I find particularly convicting are from a song entitled On My Cross by Far From Home. And I think when I try to convey what God has done for us in Jesus Christ, I can't say it maybe any better than they do.
Your hands. were my thorns, those were my scorns, those were my tears that fell down. And just as you said it would be, you did it all for me. After you counted the cost, you took my shame, my blame on my cross. Those were my nails, that was my crown, pierced your hands, your brow. Those were my thorns, those were my scorns, those were my tears that fell down. And just as you said it would be, you did it all for me. And after you counted the cost, you took my shame, my blame on my cross. After you counted the cost, you took my shame, my blame on my cross.
I think it's interesting that, again, the very first verse of Isaiah 53 says, to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? My desire today, more than anything else, is that there won't be a one of you leave without having had the arm of the Lord revealed to you. So that you will know, again, that God loved you so much, in spite of your sin, in spite of your transgressions, in spite of your iniquities, that He would send His Son, that He would reach out in love to you, and that He would allow Him to take your guilt, your penalty, your shame, your blame, as if it was His own. That He would bear what you can't bear. He would suffer and pay for what you could never suffer enough for, to pay for. That He would be your sacrifice. That He would bear your sin. That He would take that burden and carry it to the cross. Because I really believe that once we really get that, when we grasp that, that the arm of the Lord is truly revealed to us, that the message of God's love is made clear to us, and what the cost was, that we're going to take our sin, our transgressions, and our iniquities a lot more seriously. We're not going to ignore them. We're going to confess them. We're going to admit them. Because of Jesus, we're going to find forgiveness. And our guilt and our shame and our blame can be removed, taken from us, nailed to a cross 2,000 years. What a shame it would be for God to have reached out so far and given so much.
and for us to turn away. What a shame. His arms extended today. His hand just reached out. In Jesus. There for the taking. Let's pray. Lord God, I want to thank you in Jesus' name.
It's good to be reminded that though Jesus is our friend, and we wonderfully appreciate this gift of having him to go through life with us, that we're not alone. We don't have to go through anything alone. But that's only possible, Father, because he was first our Savior. That he first laid down his life, we can have life. That he poured out his life for us. God, I pray that we'll be convicted about not only the need we had for that, but the continual need we have for him to intercede for us, and for him to be forgiving us through that sacrifice. If there's anyone here today, God, who didn't know before, I pray they understand more clearly at least today, and that they will be moved to take hold of Jesus, your arm extended to them. In your son's name.